Is it going? Yeah, okay. Now, it's like this. Moshe Kibbutar Messinae, so Rashi says, Vayif the Moshe Shira Azois, Bayim Velaman Sinai, so Velaman Nemar, Umasol Yeshua, Velola Laza Lachinchas, Velola Shivim Zakenim, Amasnabam Bamachana. So Rashi says, Shalai Rotza Lamoisra, Ela Lamisha Yememitz, Atzmaim and Urav Baalei Achachma, the Kana Shemtev Baalam, Vizel Yeshua. Okay. So first Rashi says like this, Moshe kibbutz tar misinai v'limdo l'chol Yisrael shenem avichtev Moshe asashir azayis b'yam uvo yalamdas b'nei Yisrael. So one term is limud, so that includes everybody, includes all of Klal Yisrael. But now we have a different term, Masera, right? Masera doesn't include everybody. Now Rashi says, why does it say he gave it to Yeshua and not to Elazar l'Pinchas, not to Shivim Zakenim ma'mastab b'machaneh? He says, because he didn't want to give it over only to the one who was Memis Asma Menur of Baalei HaChachma. And that was Yeshua ben Nun. Alright? Yeah, so the question we asked was that it's Mashma from Rashi, it's a contradiction. Because Rashi says, why does it say Masara li Yeshua and not to Allah's and Pinchas Yeshua and Zakam Masnabma Machna? The implication is that he did give it over to the Yeshua and Elazar. So it should have said, Umasoro, when he's Rashi, yes, he says it should have said he gave it over to the other ones, the Mashma, that he actually did give it over to them. Then he says, no, Shalai Ratza Lamaisra, Lamisha Yememis Asma Menura. He didn't want to give it over to anybody else besides Yeshua. Well, what does it mean? I mean, what does it mean? It means he didn't want to, but he actually gave it to the others, or it means he didn't want to, and he only gave it to Yeshua. If he only gave it to Yeshua, so then what was Rashi's question? Rashi shouldn't have said v'loma ne'mar u'masra u'masara li Yeshua v'leila laza l'pinchas. Rashi should have said v'loma le'masra ela li Yeshua. Right? When it says v'loma ne'mar masara li Yeshua, the implication is that actually the Masira was, he gave it over to everybody, the Masara was to the others too. Why does it only single out Yeshua? Yeah. Right? But the Masara is actually to others too. But from the Teretz it would seem, no, that the Masara was exclusively to Yeshua. So which way was it? Was it exclusively to Yeshua? Or was it to everybody else? Seems to be a contradiction. Okay. Alright, so you can say that Rashi wasn't exact in an exact Russian Rashi. But,
okay.
Take a look in the Rambam, we'll see there's something more to it. You'll see, Menez in the Cross, nice like this. Rambam is like this in the beginning of his Akdama. To the Yad HaChazaka. Af Pishloi Nichtava Tersh Bapeh. Limda Moshe Rabbeinu Kula Beveiz Dino L'Shivim Zakenim. So he says he taught it to 70 Zakenim. Now it rhymes like this. The Elazar U'Pinchas Yeshua Shloshtan Kiblu Mi Moshe. These three were Mekabel from Moshe. What about the Shivim Zakenim? So here you see a difference between the Ram and Rashi about the Shivim Zakenim. Rashi would seem held, if you just on the basis of his language, it would seem that he held that he actually gave it over to Shivim Zakenim. The Rambam holds no. Rambam holds he was malamited to Shivim Zakenim. Rashi says he was malamited to Kol Yisrael, and the Masara was and he gave it over to Shivim Zakenim and Elazar and Pinchas and Yeshua. The Rambam says no, that the Shivim Zakenim he only taught it to them, but the Masara was exclusively these three. Which three? Elazar, Pinchas, and Yeshua. Shloshtan kiblu mimeisha. Then he says like this: Uli Yeshua shehu talmida shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Mosar Tarasha Balpe Vitzivolah. Then he says, but to Yeshua, who was a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave over the Tarasha Balpe and Vitzivolah. What's Vitzivolah? We said Vitzivolah means Mino, he appointed him on it. Sometimes it simply means to appoint. Yeah, some want to say when it says Savas Yeshua Chaskev Amtseh, that's in Dvarim. It means appoint. Lamed Beis Chof Ches in Bamidbar. Vayetzav lahem Moshe Eis Elazar Akoyim Veis Yeshua Benun. Rashi says, what does it mean Vayetzav lahem Kamei Aleihem Va'al Tanoam Mino Elazar V'Yeshua Kamei Hashem Yilochem Lochem means Aleichem. So Vayetzav means Minoi. So he says he was Memanahim, the Rambam says, on Torah Baal Peh. But nevertheless, who was Mekabel the Torah? All three of them, Yeshua, Elazar, and Pinchas. Okay. Now, So apparently there's a difference between being mekabel the Torah Shebal Peh and being memuna on the Torah Shebal Peh. Two different implications. What is the difference between these two? Now I mention something the Rav one time mentioned. It says, Achia Ashiloni mi'etzim Mitzrayim hoya. The Levi hoya. V'shama mi'moyshev hoya katan bi'me'moyshev. Who kibel mi David ubeis dinoi? The question is, if he heard from Moshe Rabbeinu, so why did he ask him the Kabbalah from David and Beis Dinoi? All he'd need was to be appointed, meanly. Why did he ask him the Kabbalah from David and Beis Dinoi? He says, Shabbat and Moshe, he heard it from Moshe. So the answer is that there's a process of Masaira. A process of Masaira means that a person has to learn the Torah, had to be taught the Torah Shebal Peh in terms of Masaira. It had to be a qualified transmission. And this transmission can only take place through a person who was a Bala Masaira. Therefore, since when he heard it from Moshe Rabbeinu, he wasn't authorized to be Mekabel at that time, so he had to relearn it all from who? From David Beis Dinai. Because if he didn't relearn it all, then it would be lacking in the character of the transmission. See, the transmission required that each individual should hear the whole Torah in the framework of Masaira. And since he wasn't capable when he was younger to be mekabel from Moshe Rabbeinu, so he had to relearn the whole Torah from David Beis Dinoi, even though he had heard it from Moshe Rabbeinu. You see? So you see there's two things with regard to Masaira. One is, insofar as transmitting the Masaira, a person has to be, had to be on the level of being mekabel. Not Shama. That's what Ram says, Shama. Shama, he heard it from Moshe, but he wasn't, no, you can't say Kibbol from Moshe. Kibbol means that it was given over Bateras Masaira. And he wasn't roy to have it given over that time, Bateras Masaira. So you have to have Kibbol in order to know that which you learned is endowed with the quality of Masaira. You see? Now, these three people, Yeshua, Elazar, and Pinchas, all had the Torah which was endowed with the quality of Masaira. So if they taught somebody else, in turn, they could also endow them with that same quality and would be considered Masaira, you see. But Minui means the one that's in charge. Tzivola, Yeshua ben Nun, was in charge of Torah Shebal Peh. What is in charge of Torah Shebal Peh? It means that he decides what the content of the Torah Shebal Peh is. His word is final in regard to what the content of Torah Shebal Peh is. That's Tzivola. Okay? Alright.
That's more than just one column.
Yeah, the Rabbeinu Yonah says. Also, the Rabbeinu Yonah we mentioned yesterday says, when he brings down the Masaira, he says, "Anshek Nesagam." So he goes through the whole thing. He says, "V'nizrika Eitz." And then when he gets to the Chachmei Talmud, "V'nizrika Eitz mi pikulam li kasev Torah Shebal Peh, v'kasvu v'sasmu a Talmud, l'achre came le'nesaf by davar le'nigram imenu." And after the Talmud, there was nothing was added or subtracted. Once the Gemara was, once they wrote down the Gemara. And there was stimas Talmud, that was it. No one could add or subtract any halachos. Then he said like this, v'gama dorahu mesaru legoinim, v'yis ha-kabol migoyim legoyim, rav mi pirav, arayam hazeh. So if the question is, if it stopped after the stimas Talmud, so why does he continue with the Masaira? So he said there's two things in Masaira. One thing in Masaira is to decide what is the content of the Masaira. You see? That if the stimas Talmud, that's it. It was written down in the Stimas Talmud. No one could come up with any new halachas like the Stimas Talmud. That was decided. This is the content of the extent, the content of Torah Shebal Peh. But now the question is interpretation of Torah Shebal Peh. That you also need Masaira for. You need Masaira for interpretation. You need Masaira for content. So that keeps on going. Yeshua was memuna on Torah Shebal Peh. That means he was memuna to decide what the content was. What the content was. You see. So it's more than just the interpretation, but it's the content. So he was the only one that was authorized to decide what the content was. But the others who had been mekabel from Moshe Rabbeinu also had the same quality of Masaira. If they taught somebody else, if somebody learned from them, in terms of limud, in terms of transmission, it would be a qualified transmission. Okay. There's one thing more I want to mention. The Rambam says in the end, he lists all the Balei Masaira. He goes, 40 deris. Rav Ashi Mirava, Rav Mirava, straight back all the way through. Then he said like this, Eli mi Pinchas, Pinchas mi Yeshua, Yeshua mi Moshe Rabbeinu. Says, Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, mi pi Agvura. Nimtza shekulam me'ad Hashem elekei Yisrael. So the Rambam says. What's the pshat? I mean, what did I must add there? In Tzakulam, we know the Masera goes to Mipi Agvura. Meishik Kibbutz Har Mesinai, right? Ninza kula shakula mer Hashem alakei Yisrael. What does it mean? What does Ram mean? The Ram is saying one thing. The Ram is saying, Ravashi, for instance, was the last of the Balei Masera in this from the Talmud, right? Then you had Ravashi was from Rava. Let's say Rava. Who appointed Rava to be one of the Balei Masera? What's the answer? God. That's the answer. Exactly. That's what he says. Ninza kulam ninza shakula mer Hashem alakei Yisrael. Who appointed Rava? God appointed Rava. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he set forth, he gave him the content of the Torah, and he set up a system of Masera. Moshe Rabbeinu was authorized to set up Yeshua ben Nun. So this is all part of the authorization. Who was authorized in turn to set up the next Pinchas, Eli HaKohen, straight down the line. So it comes out that every one of the Balei Masera was appointed by God. That's what the Rava means. You didn't have to say it away. You could thought like this, that God gave the Torah to Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu decided to set up a system of Masera. How's it going to work out? But not that each one is appointed by God. So the system of Masera, since the system of the Masera wasn't just that Moshe Rabbeinu was authorized to set up a system of Masera. It means that everyone in the Balei Masera is directly, indirectly actually, but it comes out that he's appointed by God. That's what it means. It means everyone in the Balei Masera appointed by God. The Rambam means it's not just the Torah itself, which is received, is a Torah that comes from God. It means everyone in the Balei Masera is considered memuna, has a halacha of being memuna, mipi agvura. That's the halacha. Yeah, according to Rabbeinu Yoina, the Rambam was memuna. Straight through, all through the Rishon, the Goyim, because it goes through Goyim, Ish mi pi Ish, Goyim mi pi Goyim, Rav mi pi Rav, straight through the Rishon, the Rambam, the Ramban, straight down the line, all mi munu pi Hashem. So that's what it means. Has a din of mono mi pi Hashem. It's an interesting thing. Gemara says, "Taz Allah was lost in Asniel ben Knaz." Ish shel Yilka. Okay. It means that Masara wasn't just an idea that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Masera was given Mipi Agvura. It was authorized Mipi Agvura. It's all authorized. It wasn't just an idea that Moshe Rabbeinu guy says, I'll work out Masera, Balei Masera. Balei Masera was authorized Mipi Agvura. So it means everyone is authorized Mipi Agvura. That's what Rashi means. Rashi, he says like this. He says, we ask the question. He says, so apparently they were also makabel, and then he says, the difference is like this. In terms of Kabbalah Rashiels, they also were makabel, like the Rambam says. But the only thing is, what Rashi means over here, lemaisra, is different over here, lemaisra. Yeah, lemaisra over here means to appoint them, to be in charge. So he only wanted to one, that's why it says Masara li Yeshua. It didn't say Masara, because he's talking about, the mission is talking about who is in charge. See? And the one that was in charge was only Yeshua ben Nun. Okay? That's like the Ram. Same thing, Rashi's practically the same thing like the Ram. The only differentiation is between the Shiva and the Kenim. Otherwise, that's why, if I'm not mistaken, the Rav said once that he says that over here, the Ram in Perak Gimel Mechus Shuva Lach Ches, he said, Shlo Sheim Akar from Batera. Ha'imer She'ein Tara Me'im Hashem. This Tara is not from God. Afilu Pasak Achas. Afilu Teva Achas. Pasak Achas Teva Achas. Im Amar Moshe Amar Mipi Atzmai, Hareze Kefer Batera, Vechena Kefer Bepirusha, Vutarsh Valpe, Vamakhish Magideo, Gonzadiko Bises. Tzadiko Bises are the ones that were Makhish, they're not the Magidim. Okay. Now, so he asked, he says, a Kefer Bepirusha is the same thing as a Makhish Magideo. What's the difference in Kefer Bepirusha and Makhish Magideo? You think? So he said, no, because Kaifa Bepirusha means you deny the actual Torah Shebal Peh. But Makhish Magideha means you argue on the Balei HaMasera. You Makhish them, even though you do accept the Torah. Now, why should it be if you Makhish Magideha, you consider Kaifa Batera? Because what we're saying is very good. Because Nimtza Shekulam Me'ad Hashem Elokei Yisrael. So the person is endowed with the minui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you makrish that gavra, that's already considered kefir batera. Okay? Like if somebody says, why did Shammai paskin this halacha? Because Shammai was a tough man. He wanted to be hard on the people. Hillel was a nice guy. So that's makrish magideha. Even though he accepts it, but his makrish magideha is considered a kefir batera. Okay? Now let's go back to Rashi. Rashi says that only Yeshua ben Nun he wanted to give it over to. Why do you want to give it to Yeshua ben Nun? It says, Shemei misatzmai min uruf ba'olech. From early youth, Yeshua ben Nun was mei misatzmai. What does Meimis Atzmai mean? First of all, what does Meimis Atzmai mean? I wanted to just define what Meimis Atzmai means. So we said that Meimis Atzmai means, Misar means the removal of the physical pleasures and desires. So Meimis Atzmai means, Adam ki zeisater, Adam ki yomos ba'al. What does it mean? It means that by Torah, it's not enough for a person just to be involved in Torah like a subject, or just be involved an hour a day, whatever it is. That's not considered that's not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is that he removes himself from all the other all his other desires. That's considered Misa. That's considered Misa. That's why it's interesting. The Rambam says in the Hakdama to the Pirush Mishnayos, he says Meisher Rabbeinu Lemes. What's Meisher Rabbeinu Lemes? See, by an ordinary person, Misa means that part of the energies which were going to other areas cease. And the only thing that remains is those is chokhmah, right? Yeah, but in Moshe Rabbeinu, that didn't happen because all of his energy was directed to Torah. See? Okay. Yeah, that's in line with what the Rambam says in Yesodei Torah, when he describes the difference between the Adam Nevi'im and Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. Yes, Adam ki yom is boyal. So yamei misasam in ur of boal le'achokhmah. Rashi says, and then he says, "Vakona shem tov ba'olam."
All right.
So, "Vakona shem tov ba'olam." Now, so what does it mean? Rashi says, "Let's understand first of all. What is this? Are these two separate things, or are they related somehow?" He says two things. First of all, is his name is Hashem Nur Bolei Chachma. That's one. And two, he had a good name in the world. Good name. Okay, it's nice to have a good name. But what are the? How do these two things tie in? Now, let's take the first one. First interesting thing, Rashi says, "Lefisha Yamemis Asma Min Urav," from his early youth, which means others might have also been just as attached to learning to Talmud Torah, but it wasn't Min Urav, it wasn't Min Urehem, it wasn't from the early youth. And the Torah always mentions by Yeshua, it mentions the fact that it was Min Urav. So Vayan, Baloyscha, Vayan Yeshua Ben Nun, Mibachurav, Mishras Moshe Mibachurav. See, it was from early youth. Was a Mesharis and Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is it? Well, what's the importance of Mibachurav? What's the importance of Mibachurav? So I mentioned the Gemara in Kedushin, right? Pasuk in Kehelas. Smach bacha b'yaldu secha. V'tivcha libcha b'mei b'chura secha. V'alech b'darke libecha. V'amara yenecha. Ki al kol ele v'yecha olekim b'mishpat. Alright? Now, there's two ways. The plame shot in the pasuk means he's telling him in a sarcastic way. He's saying, go ahead, have a good time, do whatever you want. And God will bring you eventually to judgment for all these things you're doing. See? And then later he says, in Yud Beis, Aleph, Uzacharis bar echo bimei b'churei secha. Just make sure to remember God in your early days. Adashele yavoyu yamei ara. V'yegi ha'shanam ha'shatayma ein livam chefetz. Before the days when you get older. Because most people think, they say, well, when you're younger, you should enjoy the physical life. When you get older, the body starts waning, you know? So, then it's a good time to get involved in the spiritual. You know, the physical anyways. Now, Shlomo says no. You have to do it all perfections. Anything a person wants to perfect has to be done in youth. Youth is a time when the main thrust of a person's life must be expressed. So the pasuk says he has to do it with we may habacharis, young age, and Chazal interpret the first pasuk also that way, but it doesn't matter, or whatever. So it tries at any rate like this: that what, that insofar as a person perfects himself in youth, that's how much more perfected he will be in later years. See, in later years. That's what the Gemara says in Kedushin. The Gemara says that I got married when I was 16. If I would have got it married at 14, I would have spit in the Satan's face. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Now, It means to say, what it means to say is that insofar as a person doesn't perfect himself in his youth, he has lost something, a permanent damage has occurred. Because the energy systems of man has already found other roots, as trained. And no matter how much he removes himself, there still will remain always a taint. You see, there still remains something from this. He can't totally overcome it. That's why it has to be me. That's why it has to be in the early years. Perfection must be in the early years. So the Gemara says, that mi shalei nasa ad chof shana, ben shalei nasa isha kol yom of bavera. The rest of his life is bavera. So the Gemara says bavera sal gadaitach elohim or kol yom of bihiru avera. The Gemara says the rest of his life will have hira. It doesn't mean because shalei nasa. It means he has to do averas all of his life. No, it means hira avera. What does hira avera mean? Hira means that his mind has already been shaped a certain way, and he'll always suffer from the fact that he didn't perfect himself earlier. That's why Chazal very makbid on getting married at a young age. You see, all that affects the person the rest of his life. Okay. And if I remember correctly, there's a Gemara in Brachas that says Al Tamim Batzva Jay Meischa, but the Gemara says that a person who was a tzaddik kol yomav doesn't have to worry. There's one mandama like that. The question is this. What we're saying now, that a person can never perfect himself. What he lost in his youth, he can never undo. Permanent damage. So, the question was asked, but makam shabal yeshuva aimdin ain't tzaddikin gemurim yochayim la'amayit. So you see, on the contrary, the person who was a rasha first, he's on a higher level. It says, no kasha. Two different aspects. Insofar as richuk mechait, at that moment, richuk mechait, the Baal Tshuva is further away. But like the Rambam says, sharei tom tamo iser upirish. You see? But insofar as the makeup of his psyche, that's a different story. Yeah. Because the person who was not in the Bechurav always has energy going to these areas. Whereas the person who perfected himself in his early youth is on a higher level of perfection. It's two different aspects. That's why the Gemara says that the person who was a tzaddik kol yomav doesn't have to worry according to one man da amar. It means that his channels of energy have already been established. You see? Whereas the person is a baal tshuva, even though it's a very high madrega as a baal tshuva, but there is a tremendous danger involved. You see? He's in danger. There's a danger. As long as he stays as a baal tshuva, fine, he's on the highest level because he's far removed. But it has nothing to do with the makeup of his psyche, the makeup of his personality. It's a different thing. Not a kasha, it's a different thing than where he stands right now in terms of richuk mechait. Two different aspects. That's what Rashi means. He says, Rashi Shayim Memis Atzma Min Urav Ba'alei HaChachma. Yeshua Ben Nun had that quality. He was perfected from early youth. Others didn't have that quality. So that was one quality that Yeshua Ben Nun had. Another one was Kana Shem Taif Ba'alam. What is Kana Shem Taif Ba'alam? He had a good name. Some people have a good name, some people don't have a good name. People speak Lashon Hara against Gedolim also. Say a person that people speak Lashon Hara against Gedolim, so they say those Gedolim are no good. If that's the case, you have to say the Rambam is no good. People spoke a lot of Lashon Hara about the Rambam in this time. Yeah, right. No, the pshat is like this. You see, what Kona Shem Tev demonstrates is like this. You see, the Rambam explains in the end of the Maran of Hucham that the highest level of man is where he acts only because of his avas Hashem towards people. In other words, his activity towards people not motivated by any personal involvement. Any personal involvement. You see? And it's only motivated by one thing. It's only motivated by his avas Hashem. And so he's not involved in the petty type of emotions that the average person has. The average person, even when he does a chesed, it's a petty chesed, most people. It's petty because it's his friend, it's his neighbor, he likes him. That's why he does the chesed. That's not really a high level. Avos Hashem is an objective type of chesed, different type of chesed. Highest level is where he expresses chesed because of Avos Hashem. Now, the reason why a person doesn't have a shem tov is because when he's involved in his petty emotions, so other people also sense the sense these things. And they also, they pick up on his, they could, there's a way, psychologists say there's a way that a person can read the other person's underlying emotions. See? And it's true, because he has the same pettiness and he senses it in somebody else also. So, therefore, a person that operates on that level is always, has these problems getting along with people because of the, he's involved in the same pettiness that they are. And one senses the other one, you see? But a person who operates on the level where he's totally objective will not incur this type of a, will not incur this type of a criticism. Right. Not incur this type of criticism. Exactly. Because the others can sense that he's operating on this on the higher level. See? Okay? The others can sense that he's operating on the higher level. And that's why he has a shame tape. But of course, there are people who dislike others because their very existence is a threat to them. Now, this type of a thing is not the person, that's not what he means by kind of shame type. This type of a person is, this type of a, of criticism is not the fault of the one who's being criticized. Yeah, the Gemara says that, Ameyaretz hate a Talmud Chacham. Just because he is a Talmud Chacham, because he sits and learns. Now, no matter what he does, he can't, this is something that, his very existence is a threat. So that's it. G'dol sinus, Ameyaretz Talmud Chacham, Yesemi sinus, Akum Yisrael. So, there are certain sinets and it can't remove. But it's talking about the sinner that can be removed, or that shouldn't, that doesn't begin because of the nature of the person's actions. Right? Now, Kana Shem Tev Boilam shows two things. It shows basically that the person is operating in the highest level, and also it shows the extent of his operation. Because since he has Avas Hashem, so he's interested in helping others. Like the Rambam says at the end of the Mirah. Person's on the highest level will only do loving kindness, the Rambam says. The highest, that's the highest level. Okay. Now, in order to be a Bala Masera, you require two things. Bala Masera has to make a... Bala Masera is entrusted with the Teresh Bal Peh. He's under serious pressures at different times. Has to make important decisions. Decisions that the Bala Masera is making, he can't be open to any weakness. And the weakness is expressed in two ways. First of all, in the underlying channels that his energy takes. That's number one. If the channels are to for other purposes, you see, other emotions are involved. So then there's always a danger that at the moment of pressure, will slip back to one of those things, make a mistake. That's why it has to be minu'urav. That's one. And secondly, second thing is the extent of the amount of energy that's first of all, it's removed from the other areas, and secondly, the extent that's being deposited in the in the reservoir of Avas Hashem. That's an expression of Kana Shem Tev Ba'olam. You see? So that's what the combination is. That's what the combination is. See, it's affected to the greatest because of two things. First of all his energy is directed to Shem Tev Ba'olam shows the all his energy is directed to Avas Hashem. Right. That's one. But not only that, there are no paths, there are no routes, there are no abandoned routes, you see. Person that was a Menorah, he has some abandoned roads that he could always go back to. You know what I mean? It's danger and the pressure will revert back to those, will regress back to those abandoned roots. Minurav means there are no abandoned roots. So therefore, he is the most perfected. And that's why that mandamah holds that Altam Masra doesn't apply to a person with a tzaddik all his life. He doesn't have any abandoned roots. He's not going to go back anyways. Yeah, the Gemara says that Shmuel Katan, the Gemara Brachas is on Daf Chav Tesamet Alaf. Shmuel Katan skipped the Lamashim, so they... So they said that they wanted to remove him because he's a min. So Shani Shmuel Katan, the Yutikna, the Nichash Duma Hadabai, maybe became a min. Amar Abaya Gemiri Tavol Avabisha. Okay. One says Veshuv Tzadik Mei Tzidkasei Vasa Avol Hu Rasha Mei Karai. Avol Tzadik Mei Karai Loi. That's what the Gemara says. Right. Okay. That's what the Gemara says. So you see that even though the Gemara held a Makom Shebaal Tshuva Imdin, right?
Right.
But not, there's no guarantee that he's going to stay there. By hell that if he's, because the roots have already been, the roadblocks were set up, it's true. The road was, The railway is old and it was discarded, but the path is still there, even though it's a little overgrown. So always go back there.
Okay.
That means that every day a guy who doesn't perfect himself in youth, he's losing out permanently for his life. Yeah, okay, let's finish off the Rashi. Zeh Yeshua, Shenemar, Yeshua ben Nar, Layomish Mitachalo.
Right.
Alright? That's what it means. What does it mean, Layomish Mitachalo? It means, what is the Pasuk telling you? Yeshua ben Nar, Layomish Mitachalo. You wonder when you come to that Pasuk, why it says that. All of a sudden, Yeshua ben Nar. Who cares? What? So the answer is, he wants to tell you who Yeshua ben Nun was, the nature of his perfection. Now it says, Alpha Pishak Suval Pinchas, Teres MS Isabefeu. So it says that Teres MS Isabefeu means that he was Makabal. Right? He was Makabal. But the Gavra wasn't the same Gavra. They both had the same Chefs of Tera, but it were different Gavras. And the meaning had to be according to the perfection of the Gavra. Okay. Next Rashi. Alright, now the question is, where does Rashi prove it from this pasuk? Because it just says Vayavdu Amos at Hashem Koli Me Yeshua Choli Me Askenim Asherichu Yamachar Yeshua. It doesn't say which Sakenim it was. So it doesn't say which Sakenim it was. So how does he know? Maybe it was the Shivim Sakenim. Pasuk doesn't prove anything. Yeah, the answer is factual because you got to look back in the Tanakh. You see, in Yeshua, that pasuk which Rashi is quoting is really found in two places. It's found at the end of Yeshua, Chaf Dalet Lamed Aleph, and it's also found in Shaftim Beis, in Shaftim Beis Zion. Same pasuk almost. Now, but before that, you see, it says, "La'im yom ram machreya sheniach Hashem liyisrael mikol avim esav Yeshua zaken baba yomim." Vayikra Yeshua l'chol Yisrael l'skeinov u'l'rashov u'l'sheftov u'l'sheitrov vayomer aleihem ani zakanti basi bayomim. Okay, v'atar isem eis kol asher osvad Hashem alekeichem l'chol agoyim ha'elam b'pneichem ki Hashem alekeichem hu anilcham lachem. He's speaking, he made an asifa for the skeinim. That was one asifa, then he made another asifa for Klal Yisrael v'chavdala v'yas v'yeshua's kol shiftei shol shchema. Now, and then he says like this, Vayavod, then it goes through the whole thing, and it says, Vayavod Yisrael, Lesser Hashem, Kol Yimei Yeshua, Kol Yimei Eskenem, Shariach Yom Machri Yeshua. Vashay Yodu, Es Kol Maaseh Hashem Anera. Es Kol Maaseh Hashem Asherosu Yisrael. Okay. So the thing is that the Pasuk is speaking about the same Zekanim, that's referring to the same Zekanim that was before. And those were the Zekanov of Yeshua. So you see that it wasn't the Zekanim, the Shivim Zekanim. The question is, why didn't he give it over to the Shivim Zekanim? See, and why does Rashi hold this as a question? Why should he have given it over to the Shivim Zekanim? Why should he have given it over to the Shivim Zekanim? What's Rashi's kasha? Why didn't he give it to the Shivim Zekanim? Why? Because Rashi holds that the Shivim Zekanim were Mekabel from Moshe. See, since they were Mekabel from Moshe, so you would think that he should give it over to those Zekanim, because that's Rashi's shita, that the Shivim Zekanim were Mekabel from Moshe, not like the Rambam. That's why it's a kasha. Rambam wouldn't have this kasha. Okay.
What?
So what's the answer? Why? He says he only gave it to the ones that were Reidim V'Shechem Al Yisrael. So he answers the same thing we mentioned before, because Reidim V'Shechem Al Yisrael means they were Isaac B'Tzorchei HaKol. The other ones were Mekabel Terah, but they didn't want the same, wasn't the same person, same Gavra. Okay. Now, this explains another thing. Why does it always start off with Moshe Kibbel Terah Misinai, Maser Al Yeshua, Shulis Kenim, and then Anshe Knesset Agdola, and then it goes through what they said, right? Shimon HaTzadokai Mishari Knesset Agdola, Hoi Yoimer. All these things really aren't Messiah at all. These are only things, ideas that they themselves made up. So why do you have to have the authorization of the Messiah? You think the authorization of the Messiah should be in the beginning of Brachas when you start the Mishnayos, right? So the answer is because the ones who are most perfected in the door were the Balei Messiah. Those are the most perfected individuals. And that's why we need to come to learn perfection, which is Avais. So these individuals are the ones that we turn to, because they're the ones that are most perfected. Okay. They were geniuses in ethical perfection. See?
Yeah,
you have to know who's saying a statement. That's what the Rambam says. That's not a mistake. What's the Rambam saying? Nakdama to the Mora? Right?
The books.
Yeah, who the author is. If a fool wrote a book, you're not going to sit and ponder it. You have to know who wrote it, so you know how much work you should put into it, the effort to put into it, to see if there's something there. Until you come to the Nevi'im. Okay. All right. Now it says in Nevi'im, Masru'a l'anshe k'nes ha'gdola. Masru'a zel ezeh atshebo'a l'anshe k'nes ha'gdola. Who's l'anshe k'nes ha'gdola? It's Rubavo, Nechemya, Saroya, Re'eloya, Mordechai, that's Mordechai from Mordechai Vesta, Bilshan. Shreba me Ezra, B'binyan Bayesheni. Okay? Alright, now Rashi like this. V'lomba nikru anshe k'nes ha'gdola. Mefarsh, Mesechet Yuma, Perek Bola, K'nes ha'gdol, Shehema y'knesiyo g'dola, o'kdesha, Shechzira tar l'yeshna. Mefishe Moshe Omar. Moshe Omar, Hakel Agudal Givanera. Yes, so yes. Omar Yeshua ben Levi, Lama Nikra Shmon, the Samach doesn't base. Lama Nikra Shmon, Anshe K'nes Agdola. Why were they called the men of the Great Assembly? Not because there were a lot of people there. And not because they were necessarily great. I mean, they were great, but they weren't greater than the Nevi'im. It says, Sheikh Zira Ataliation, because of their deed, because of something they accomplished, that's why they were called great. Alright? Also, Moshe Amar Keila Godla Givanera. Moshe Rabbeinu said three adjectives. Also, Yirmiyah V'Amar. Yirmiyah came along and said, Nachrim Mekakrin Becholai. Nachrim are making noise, rejoicing in the Echol. Ayei Narosav. Where's his awesomeness? Lo Amar Nara. So Yirmiyah said, Keila Godla. Yirmiyah David. He said, Ruch Hashem Keila Godla. Keila Godla Hagibar. Keila Yon. Also, Daniel Amar. Nachrim Meshtabdin Bevano. Goyim are enslaving his children. I ate Gurosov. Lo Amar Gibor. So he got shorter. Just as Gadol. Kela Gadol, Gama Kela Ling, Gama Chasantav. Asu Inu, V'Amru. Yeah, agreed. Amru Adraba. They said, Zuig Vuraso. This is his greatness. Vuraso Shekova Shesitro. His greatness is that he controls himself. Shenosin Erechapayim L'Rishoyim. Because he's long suffering with the Rishoyim. Ve'elohei Norosav. And where is the awesomeness? She'al mole moro shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu he'achu ma'achas yichol l'skayim bein umas. The old mashal of one sheep with 70 wolves. How can it exist? So it must be because of his awesomeness. The Gemara asks, Rabban Mech Avdi Ochi, how did Yirmiyahu and Daniel take out the Gibor Nara? Vakri takanta the Tukin Moshe. They don't know how to do it. Amar Rabbi Lazma, tech she'ed ma'kadosh Baruch Hu she'emitihu l'fikach lo kizvibo. They know that God is truthful, therefore they didn't lie to him. Rashi Shua Miti Maskim Alemas Vesone as a Sheker. He hates lying. Yes, the question is what? So what does it mean that he hates so what did the Gemara think before? The Gemara's having it was that you're gonna say lies. It's impossible. So we say the Peshat is like this. That the that really when you say Okela Godla Givanera, it's adjectives with a relationship to God. Now, the point is these adjectives can be true, but they don't have to be manifest all the time. You don't have to see all the time Hebrew and Ura. They're true adjectives about God. Right now, he's not manifesting these things. A person could be a great Gibor, and he doesn't necessarily have to be in battle right now. He could be taking vacation, too. But he's still a Gibor. See? So, even though at that time God chose not to manifest these characteristics, it's still true to say God will give him an error. So what was their answer? Their answer was no. Rashi says, that's the thing Rashi means, it says, Sayin es ha-sheker, means like this. It means that they held that when a person is mispalel, and he says these terms, the terms have to be characteristics that he can see. If he can't see the characteristics, then he doesn't really mean them sincerely, then it's not, then it's sheker. Then it's not Kadosh Baruch Hu saying it's a sheker. See, that's why they removed it. See? It's the characteristics aren't manifest. Yeah. What the Rambam says, it doesn't mean he has no idea about it at all. He has some idea, but he has to recognize simultaneously that he doesn't understand the full extent of it, and he's not roy to say it. See? That I'm only saying what Moshe Rabbeinu repeated. To me, it has some connotation, but I wouldn't. My connotation isn't enough. So it would be mad to me to say it. I need Moshe Rabbeinu's. I'm saying that's why I'm just repeating what he said.
Right.
Okay. Now let's understand. So now the question is, what about if the Anshe K'nes HaGdola saw it? They said they means it in the first Nevi'im. What's the Machlekes? What the first Nevi'im didn't see this idea? Simple thing. So the answer is Machlekes between Yirmiyahu and Daniel on the one hand, and between the Anshe K'nes HaGdola on the other hand. What was the... So let's understand. The Anshe K'nes HaGdola, let's understand. First, what did Yirmiyahu say? Yirmiyahu and Daniel, they said, no, you can't see the Gvura. Okay, can't see the Gvura. Gvura means where a person is recognized, for instance, by a person is recognized. Of course, you understand like this. In relationship to God, none of these things are true. You can't really say that actually that God is a gibor, because a gibor, what does gibor mean? Gibor means someone that causes somebody else to surrender. That's what a gibor is. He does a heroic act, which means that he causes somebody else to surrender. Okay? Now the reason why you can't say that about God is because the term gibor only makes sense if there's a contest. A contest between two individuals and one subdues the other. That's a gibor. In relationship to God, there's nonsense. There's no contest between God and any Rishayim. Not a contest. But it's only a mushal. It's a mushal which we use. It's a mushal which we use, which means that God's actions reflect a certain perfection, which in our terms are expressed as gibor. Like the Rambam says, Mahu nikra chanun, nafato hayei chanun. So chanun is he's nikra chanun, but he's not really a chanun or a rachum, like we understand a chanun or a rachum. Okay? Yeah, that has to be clear. Okay, now the thing is like this. But it reflects a certain perfection. Okay. Now, really what the Anshei Knesset, so Daniel and Yom Yod, no, there's no, we don't see Gibor anymore. What do you mean Kavash Yisra? It's a nice chapel, but there's no, we don't see Gibor. What Anshei Knesset say? They said no. They said, what does Gibor mean really? Gibor means when you cause certain forces to surrender. Now sometimes you have an external enemy, sometimes you have an internal enemy. The contrary, Gemara says usually it's the internal enemy that's a gadol kavash yisra mevacharir. Usually it's the internal enemy that's more important to subdue than the external. Yeah. So therefore, the Anshei Knesset Gadol said that we could see that the idea, the perfection, which God manifests for us in human terms of gibor, is still visible. We still can see this perfection because we see that he's kavash yisra. So we could derive that perfection from from gibor. What's the difference whether it's an internal force, opposing force that he subdues, or whether it's an external? It still has the same quality of gibor. That's what they said. And Nora, what is Nora? Nora means an awesome deed. Now an awesome deed could be awesome because of magnitude, you see? That's like Yamsuf. Or it could be awesome not because of magnitude, but because of the quality that it has. So if a person would be able to cause a light, for instance, a small light to continue to glow without any supply of energy. It'd be a small feat, but it might not be large in magnitude, but it would be an awesome feat. An awesome feat doesn't have to be large in magnitude. It could be the quality, it could be great, to be awesome. See, that's what the Anshei Knesset Gadol said. That's the way they said. So they said, therefore, Gibor Nora is still applicable. But what did the Daniel and the Yirmiyahu hold? They held no. They held you can't do that. Why not? Not because by the definition of the Anshei Knesset Gadol is a correct one. Definitively they're right, it's the same exact property. But the reason why Daniel and Yirmiyahu didn't accept it was because it was a machlokes what these terms represent, Gadol, Gibor, Nora. See, they held like this. They held it means, what it means is, when Yishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shevach is, that God makes himself manifest through these qualities. If it's the fact that God makes himself manifest through these qualities, then you can't say it. You can say that he makes himself manifest to the fact that the Jews are still surviving. Even today, which is over 2,000 years later, which makes it so much greater, still you see people don't recognize it. Of course, if you have the right premises, you see you'll be able to see it. But you have to have the right premises, but it's not something that's manifest. Why doesn't the rest of the world suddenly say, well, look, God allowed the Jews to live all these years, therefore we should let them have that show, whatever it is. They won't say it. The reason is because these qualities aren't those through which God makes himself overtly manifest. That's the way they understood the Shevach. But the Anshei Knesset Gadol understood differently. They said no. They said the Shevach is that God manifests these qualities. He manifests these qualities. Not that he is manifested through the qualities. Manifest these qualities, that's the Shevach. So if he manifests the qualities, then the qualities, he still manifests his qualities. You don't see it because you're corrupted. It's not his fault. He's still manifesting his qualities. That's the machlekes. That's the machlekes. What Moshe Rabbeinu meant by Gadol Gibor Nora? Did he mean that God makes himself manifest? That's a different thing through Gibor Nora. That means, because then you're referring to, like the Gemara says, like Rashi says by Oz Yashir. Gemara says that when Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Dinim Rishayim Shmoy Neskadish. It's a different Gibor Nora. If he's speaking about Shmonis Kaddish because they said Dinim Rishayim, then it's Gibor Nora and Yirmiyahu and Daniel sense. But if it means Yimashabecha Kadosh Baruch Hu that he demonstrates these qualities, He's the one that demonstrates these qualities to us. Doesn't matter if they're overtly manifest. See, that's the machlokes. That's why the Ashkenazic Zadok came along and they Hechziru Tel Yeshna. What's Hechziru Tel Yeshna? Okay, it's a nice shot. It's good. Tentative, right? Nice. But what's the whole big thing? That's why they called him Gedola. Calling Gedola for that. Why? Because the pshat is like this. Because really, Godel, Gibor, and Neira, three times. See, we use them in Tefillah. Because it demonstrates the relationship between, it gives a certain relationship between the Mespalel and between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu used those terms, and the reason why those terms are incorporated in Tefillah, is because those terms are necessary components in the relationship. If you omit those terms, you're lacking. It's true they had no choice. They said Amitihu. God is Amiti. So therefore, we have to omit them. But the tefillah was lacking. The relationship was lacking. So they were Mahazir Atar Yoshna, means that they brought back the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that, they were called Gedola. That's why the Gemara says a tremendous thing, Achzir Atar Yoshna. Now the tefillah was Bishleimusa. The relationship was Bishleimusa. Was a big thing. It brought back the tefillah. Every word in tefillah is important. Don't give another idea. Every word is important. Every word is necessary for the mispalel. And the mispalel is missing a word over there. He's lacking in the. There's only three adjectives when we got there about Islam. Only three. That's it. The whole tefillah.
Now, what we were saying before, I just stated before the qualification, a shevach has to be something that you experience. That's why Daniel and Yirmiyahu removed it. Right, now we have Heyu Masuna Bedin. Is the first thing. After this whole build up, this whole introduction. So let's see what they had to say. Must be something very brilliant. Heyu Masuna Bedin. What does it mean, Heyu Masuna Bedin? It means don't paskin the din. It says, Lamayra my rois, Lapaiskim my rois, Lapaiskim as a din. Mayra my rois, three terms. Mayra my rois, Rabbeinu Gaon I'm reading. Mayra my rois means a person that teaches abstract halachas, like you teach Shulchan Shabbos. That's Mayra my rois. Lapaiskim my rois means halacha lamaisa, somebody comes to a shayla. And paiskin as a din means between bali dinim. It means beinan lachaver, dinim amanis, tavei and nitva, mavav leiva. Okay? He says, Amru leval yismuchu b'machshava rishayna, ach b'am tana gedelo b'iyun adak, leval yitu b'shikul adas. The Rebbe Yenna says, ki ha'odam amayar lahayres nikra pasheya, vav b'shechosh v'lem hemes, ein zeh shegeg ach karv l'mezidu, ash leinosem b'lvava leimar, levavan emharam leyovan adas, ki ha'toyes b'chol adam motzik, because everybody makes mistakes. V'zeshem razal, levizor b'talmud, Sheshigas Talmud El Azad. He learns Pshat differently of a Zohar B'Talmud. Doesn't mean he should learn. He should be a Zohar in learning. Because if you make a mistake, Sheshigas Talmud El Azad means if you make a mistake over there and you weren't Ma'ayan enough, then it's considered the Mazid. You see? Okay. Fine, okay. Now he says he goes on further. He gets rougher as he goes further. He gets rougher on the guy that's not Mayan. He says, V'alin yizel mashlema ala v'ashalom. Ra'isa ishchachem be'enov, tikva l'chsil mimeno. You saw a person that's a chacham in his eyes, so a fool is better than him. There's more hope than him. Moshe Machazal, Hagas, Hegas Libay by Ra, Sheiter Rashi Hagas Ruach. Rambam says also, a person who paskins before he's ready, Master Paskin, so he says, Ochstam, Star Rambam says, there's three things, Sheiter Rashi Hagas Ruach. He's a fool because he's not in reality. He's a Rasha because he knows that he's not there, he knows he's not ready, and he doesn't care, and he's a Hagas Ruach, of course. Person has to allow the machshava to sour, like dough, make it wait. Where's that? Okay. So what's the kishamis levav v'kolyesa eshtein? See. So what is the pshat? We have to understand it like this. All right. He gets a little. What we were wondering about was why he gets very rough on this guy. A guy wasn't Muslim, but then he didn't take. It's good advice. You know, a person shouldn't hurry, shouldn't rush. But then in the end, he makes him into a whole bargaiva. Makes him all rush and everything. Why, what's the pshat? What's the pshat over here? So, and also wanted to know, how long does a person have to be wait? What's the shear? Mischametz? What is the shear? 18 minutes. That's right. We had the same joke yesterday. So, but what is the shear of waiting? Of chimetz adin? How long do you wait? And you can say, ozev tazev imai. Okay? You have again in Dvarim, kiseitzei. Right? Same thing. Then you have Lesiras Chamor Achicho Aishar Neiflim Baderach Vesalanta Meim Hakim Takamimai. Alright? Now it's interesting that it says, interesting, the mitzvah of, what do you call the mitzvah of Hashavas Veda? Hashav Teshivim or Hashav Teshivenu? Hashav Teshivim. That's a Chazar of Rabbi. Hashav Teshivim is from Kisetze. But the mitzvah of Ozev Tazev Imai is from Mishpatim. You don't say Hakim Takamimai. So you say Ozev Tazev Imai. That's what the mitzvah was. Interesting thing. One is from Mishpatim, one is from Devarim. Why is it that way? Well, the major difference between Mishpatim and between Kisetze is like this. In Mishpatim it says, one difference. Mishpatim it says, Kisif Gashar O Yivcha Ay Chamoy Re Taya. Kisir Echamor Seinacha. In Kisetze it doesn't say that. It says, Leisir Eschar Achicha. Always it says Achicha. Leisir Eschamor Achicha in Devarim. What's the difference? So Chazal already noticed that. What did they say? They said like this. Said that Seinacha comes first. That's what the Gemara says. Why does Seinacha come first? Because he's Kevesh Esayetzer. Kevesh Esayetzer. So that's a question. So why is it specifically over here? It's always that way. Whenever you can do two mitzvahs, so you always, well, why does the Torah have to enunciate over here by this case, this specific case, and make a specific source of mitzvah out of it? Say by Leisira as Shor Seinacha. How does it say? What's the lesson again? Kisifka Shor Yivcha. Echamar Etei Hashif Teshivin Olai. See?
What do you mean? I don't understand.
In other words, why in every case, where I could be Kavish Mayetzer, so I could do it, why specifically in this area do you give it a specific source of mitzvah over here? The answer is like this. The answer is that Mishpatim is really the perfection of the individual. There's two things in Mishpatim. There's Kima Olam and Mishpatim. See, the Kima society. Then there's a personal perfection in Mishpatim. That's why Mishpatim comes right after Asar HaDibris, because of the personal perfection aspect. That's why in Mishpatim over here it says a Yivcha. In Kisetze it's not talking about that. Over here, Mishpatim, it's talking about the perfection that results from the from Mishpat. Now that's why it says Kisifka Shor a Yivcha. Shor a Yivcha is tied into Mishpat. Real Mishpat is where you're above the personal. That's where the perfection is. If you do Mishpat on a personal level, then that's not really the level. You see? If you return something to your neighbor because you like him, he's a nice guy, that's no good. That means that it's just this identification, psychological processes. You like him, he's a good fellow, he's nice. That's not objective Mishpat. When it says, Ki ani Hashem oisa chesed ha-mishpat ba'aretz, and a person who really does chesed ha-mishpat on the highest level, it's a different kind of chesed ha-mishpat. It means he does it objectively for the love of Mishpat per se. The objective love of Mishpat, justice. It has nothing to do with the personalities involved. You see? That's why the Gemara says that a din Torah that's one penny is just as important as a din Torah that's worth millions of dollars. Why? If it's a matter of Gemara Sanhedrin, right. If it's a matter of making a person happy, a penny, what's the difference a penny? But if it's love of justice, it's the same justice. There's no difference in justice whether it's a penny, whether it's $1 million. The concept is exactly the same. See? That's why you find a Chazal before they were done, how they go over their own emotions to make sure they don't make any mistakes because of the love of Mishpat, the objective love of Mishpat. Mishpatim, which was given after the Aseret Dibros, was given for the purpose of perfection, perfecting man, and that's the area of perfection. That's why Mishpatim, it's a Yivcha. You see, in Dvarim it's not a Yivcha. In Dvarim it's talking about the halacha itself. So that's why it's very good. Why the mitzvah is Hashev Teshivim. Hashev Teshivim is derived from Dvarim. You see, since you have repetition, so the first, why do you have this pasuk? This pasuk you have Kisif Gashar Yivcha is for the perfection of a Mishpat. That's why, otherwise you wouldn't need that pasuk, because you have the pasuk of halacha is over here in Dvarim. That's why it's Hashev Teshivim, you see? On the second one, however, the reason why I don't say Hakim Takim is because Hakim Takim, the Gemara says, Dimson Prika and Tina. So Hakim Takim is Teina. And Ozoiv Tazoiv is really, is Prika. So with this two, where you have two limudim, so of course, no one says you can't have a limud from Mishpatim. You see, you have both Hakim Takim, and you have Hakim Takim, and you have both. I'm sorry if I said before I said you only have one. I'm sorry. Hakim Takim is Teino, and Ozev Tazev is Prika. So where you have halacha, it's not repetitious, so you learn from both sources, from Mishpatim and from Kiseitze. But where you have repetition, so then the halachic limud is from Kiseitze. Because Mishpatim, this pasuk of Mishpatim came for only one purpose, for the societal, for the perfection of the individual through his relations into society. And the Hashem, Eisa Chesed of Mishpat Baras, a person has to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it says, Heyu Masunim Badin, because din is the area of perfection. That's the area of the highest perfection. Okay. So that's why it says Ayim Masunim Badin, because din is the areas where the area where he has to most perfect himself in order to make sure that he doesn't make any mistakes, that he doesn't allow his emotions to corrupt the justice. Dibreis v'shaftos on mocholeis k'siv l'achar asaras dibreis ve'la mishpatim. Rashi mentions also that the first thing, what do they reach? What do they receive after Sinai? Ela mishpatim. You would think that what should they receive after Sinai? There's his tefillin, tzitzis, all the mitzvahs, all the rituals. Why didn't they receive that? Nah. Eilam mishpatim. Din bein adam l'chaverai. The halachas of Eved, where you have somebody that's under your hand, tachas yedecha. Nobody, you could oppress him. You could mistreat him. Or the halach of Machzir Aveda, or all these halachas of Mishpat. Why is Mishpat so important? Because the thing is like this. One time mentioned, we said that a person can do all the mitzvahs for one reason, and underlying all these asiyas and mitzvahs is the hope that God will give him what he wants, which is basically materialism. So then it comes out that everything he does is just for the purpose of materialism. Where do you really see a person's perfection? You see his perfection by the Dine Mamanis. That's where you see where he's at. Many people do. A lot of people look. There's primitive tribes also do rituals because they want to have what they want. That's not greatness. That's not godless. Where do you see the path when the path deviates? That's by Dine Mamanis. That's right. That's the first thing they ask a person. Very good. Sorry. The first thing they ask a person is Nasasa Nasata Bamuna. That's right. The first thing they ask. Right. Now the pshat is like this. Also, so the thing is, that's why it says we erase him elakecha. It says always by dina moments erase him elakecha ani Hashem. That this is in other words the other. You see, in the other areas, you can do the other areas as a means for his materialism. Yeah, but over here, materialism you can't do as a means for anything else. Now it's just between you and God. Now it's we erase him elakecha. See, now we see where you really stand. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. What is Yer Shemayim? So the Gemara says that Tana that was in the middle of Krishma, and the guy kept on raising the price of the Chamor, and in the end he said, no, you're for first price. It doesn't say how much he shuckled over there in Krishma. It says the Dina Mominus. That's Yer Shemayim. Not how he said the Krishma. Yer Shemayim was the dollars and cents when he got to the Dina Mominus. So, at any rate, the thing is like this. What? There's something more in Mishpat, really. There's something more in Mishpat. See, Mishpat is Bein Adam L'Chaverai. And in Bein Adam L'Chaverai, there's two things in Bein Adam L'Chaverai. First of all, without Mishpat, the world can't exist. All right, so it says Kiyama Olam. That's number one. Yeah, but there's more than Kiyama Olam. There's two things. There's two perfections there. The one is, insofar as Kiyama Olam, true. That's why it says Olam Nishnas Meir. But there's another one. It's as far as personal perfection. Because most of a person's emotions are wrapped up in relations between individuals. That's where the emotions are tied up, you see? Now, therefore, in the area of Mishpat, to do justice, in other words, to return another person's aveda, who's your neighbor, who's your friend, you see, that's not really Mishpat. That's another emotion. That's not an emotion, see? But the Pasuk says, really, it's two parashas in the Torah. You have a parasha in Mishpatim, and a parashin kiseitze. Like in Mishpatim you have, it says, it's an interesting thing, Mishpatim it says like this. It says like this. Mishpatim is Chof Gimel Dalet. Ki sif gashor o yivcho echamayr etaya hoshev teshiven olay. That's one mitzvah, hoshev teshiven olay, right? Then kisira chamor seinacho, revetz tachas masoi, the chadalto me azev loy.